I want to talk, direct our thoughts to the Word of God, the significance of the Word of God. And in Luke chapter 8, we have a definition of the Word of God. And let me just say this by way of introduction. The Bible is known as the Scriptures. And the Scriptures is known as the milk of the Word. It's the milk. It's the food that God has provided for babes that come to know Him as Savior. Also, it contains the knowledge of the way of salvation, both for Jew and Gentile alike. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But there's also in this book butter. And the butter comes from the milk. And butter comes from churning. And of course today we don't churn milk for butter. We churn cream. But there's no cream here. It's all milk. And so therefore when you're churning the milk for butter, it takes a long time to get butter. But it's significant. If you want to know how to know to discern between good and evil, you've got to be able to eat butter. And not only that, you need to eat honey. Emmanuel was his name. He was virgin born. We find that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord Jesus Christ ate butter and honey. And by doing that, he knew to refuse the evil and to choose the good. You know, we need to do that too. And so therefore, when we're talking about the Word of God, we're not talking about milk. We're talking about a part of the Scriptures that have been hidden. In fact, when I drink a glass of milk, I'm not looking at the butter coming, butter floating around in the milk. I mean, I drink a glass of milk or have a spoonful of milk with my cereal. I'm not even aware of the butter fat that's in there. The only time I'm aware of the butter fat is when Gene says, "Yours is 2% and mine's skim." And so we're aware of the butter fat in the situations like that, but otherwise, no. So people take the Scriptures and it's milk. Milk is for babes. Teaches babes how to behave. Teaches babes not to live in sin. But the butter fat helps us to discern between good and evil and know the value of choosing the good and the consequences of choosing the evil. You choose the evil as a child of God, there are consequences to pay. You choose the good as a child of God, and you're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Did Jesus hear that from the Heavenly Father? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well pleased." You know why he was well pleased with the Son? Because the Son was eating what? Butter and honey. So what I want to be talking about this morning is butter and honey, which is the Word of God. Okay? Now I want to read Luke chapter 8, and I want to begin reading with verse 4. "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. The sower went out to sow." By the way, it's the sower went out to sow. There's a definite article "the" before the word "sower." "And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had thus said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the parable is not for everyone. The parable is for those who have ears. And he's saying, if you've got ears to hear, you listen. Don't just hear it, you listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You can hear the teaching of the Word, but when you listen to the Word of God taught or the Scriptures taught, you respond in obedience to it. That's the difference between hearing and listening. And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? It's significant when Jesus taught in a parable, he was not trying to give answers, he was stimulating questions. Parables don't always, and it really doesn't give you the truth. It just stimulates questions. And after Jesus taught a parable, what were the disciples doing? Lord, what did you mean by that? And we often think of parables as a way of explaining something more clearly. Well, let's continue here in verse 10. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. This defines what the seed is. The seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God in this context here have to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The seed has to do with mysteries, things that are hidden. The seed and the mysteries of the kingdom of God is the butter fat hidden in the milk that it takes churning to get, which we will work through this morning. So we see that the seed is the Word of God. Let me say this, the parable of the sower and the other parables here that are given in Matthew 13 and Luke and Mark as well is not the plan of salvation. The parables are not presenting how to be saved. God is not in the business of hiding that truth. Why would God, who gave his son to die on the cross, want to hide the truth of believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I will be saved? Doesn't make sense. So the parables are not presenting the plan of salvation. The parables are for saved people, and in particular saved people that can hear and that can see. And because there are plenty of God's children that are not hearing and are not seeing. If you fit in that category, you're one of those who don't have time to read your Bible or to even study your Bible. So if you can't read your Bible and you're not interested in studying your Bible, then you're dull of hearing, which we will talk about. Israel was dull of hearing. They're just like me at home. Huh? What did you say? My hearing's going down, and I don't know if there's anything to do about it. But anyway, so dull of hearing. So the seed, the parables, is the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, it says, another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Parables deal with the kingdom of the heavens. That is, the rule of the heavens over the earth. Remember that the Jews were expecting an earthly kingdom with an earthly inheritance, because God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and particularly to Jacob's 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, pieces of geography in the land of Canaan and beyond, to the east of the Jordan River. And the nation of Israel, when Jesus came, was expecting an earthly kingdom. But Jesus came presenting a heavenly kingdom. The earthly kingdom was guaranteed. because it was promised to Abraham and to his seed. But the truths pertaining to the kingdom of the heavens were a secret. Abraham probably had some vision of it, maybe Isaac and Jacob too, but that is in type and in picture in the Old Testament. It's not clear, but they have been the kingdom of the heavens is a mystery that had been hidden from generations and generations. Now, in Luke chapter 3, verse 2, it says, Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John the Baptist, or John of Zacharias, in the wilderness. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was preaching what? The word of God. John the Baptist came preaching the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance has to do with saved people who have ears to hear, that want to be a part of that kingdom, who do want to rule and reign with Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And John was saying, if you don't change your way of living, you're not going to have that blessing. You're saved. Your inheritance will be here on the earth, but not in the heavens. You're saved, but your inheritance is not in the land flowing with milk and honey. It's in the land that's called the wilderness, where half the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Reuben and Gad and Ammon and Moab and Ishmael and others of those in the family were outside or to the west or to the east of the Jordan River. But the land flowing with milk and honey was the better inheritance. And notice it's a land flowing with milk and honey. The honey was there. They just needed to learn to churn the milk to get the butter. That's the problem. They wouldn't do it. It takes too much time. To churn milk takes too much time to get butter. My grandmother could churn a pickle juice jug in just a few hours with cream in it. But it takes a long time to churn milk. So John was preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was preaching what? He was preaching the seed. He was preaching the word of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, says, all these things spake Jesus unto them, or unto the multitude, in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. It was through parables that he taught, and it was only through parables that he taught, so that it would not be totally revealed. In other words, what it did was it stimulated questions. Jesus was one who stimulated, his ministry was the stimulating of questions. And those who had ears to hear responded with questions. Now, in Matthew 13 and verse 10, it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you present the seed, the word of God, in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So there are those who God is ministering the Word of God to, and there are those who He is not ministering the Word of God to. When we think about what Jesus told His disciples, as many are called, but few are chosen. This has nothing to do with salvation. This has to do with the calling. Many have ears to hear, but only a few have been chosen. Okay? So, He wanted to keep the Word of God, the seed, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, a secret still. And the reason for that is this. If you learn a lot and you know a lot, you know what is going to be expected of you? You're going to be expected a lot. The President of the United States knows a whole lot more than you and I know, and he is more accountable. And you can see that already. I mean, people are, you know, trying to nail him on every sense of the word. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, we see the responsibility that comes with knowledge. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So, if you will not respond to the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, if you will not respond to the word of God or to the seed in obedience, if you will not repent or change your way of living, even though you know the truth, you're going to suffer a greater responsibility and judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." The holy commandment delivered unto them was to believe in the present tense and to be obedient. And it would be better for you not to know this truth than to know it and to turn away from it. Okay, it's better not to know. Now, in Matthew chapter 10, we see that this message also excluded two groups of people, additional groups of people. Jesus said, these 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." The message, the seed, the word of God, the word of the kingdom, was not to be given to whom? Gentiles or Samaritans? Now, I want to remind you of the fact that Gentiles have always been able to be saved. You just look at Ruth, and you look at the harlot of Rahab the harlot. I couldn't bring her name to my lips. Rahab the harlot, who was in Jericho. Rahab was saved. She was a Gentile. Gentiles have always been able to be saved, but and same thing with Samaritans. Samaritans are descendants of Joseph and his Gentile bride, Anasseth. Can't even pronounce her name this morning, but anyway, a Gentile bride that he picked up in Egypt. But they were excluded. He says in verse 6 of Matthew 10, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Go to the sheep of Israel that have perished. "And as you go, preach, saying," what? "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The message of the kingdom of the heaven is not a message of how to get saved. It's a message of how to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. That's what the seed is all about. That is what the Word of God is all about. You want to know how to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom? You study the Word of God. And to study the Word of God, you're going to have to churn the milk. Or you're going to have to be around somebody that's churning it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Paul churned it. All the apostles churned that milk. And so there's nothing wrong with that. So then it's the ears that can hear, let him hear. That's the exhortation. And in Matthew 13:16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." God has given some of His kids eyes to see and ears to hear, and particularly those who can stay in the way, those who will repent, those who will accept the truth and not turn away from it in the latter end. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 8, we see that Israel was slow of hearing. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they could not hear unto this day. This happens today. There are many Jews that cannot receive the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. I'm talking about saved Jews. Very few saved Jews have responded to this message. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And so, not only Israel today, saved Jews today, are dull of hearing, but in the days of Paul and the apostles, in the days of the Lord. In Acts chapter 28, verse 25 through 28, it says, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers, saying, go unto this people, that is Israel, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted. This word converted here doesn't mean saved. It means to repent. To convert is to turn around. That's what conversion is. It's to turn around. Now we use the term convert associated with salvation, but we're doing so outside the context of the scriptures. And he says, and I will heal them. Heal them has to do with restoring them. When you're healed, your body is restored. That's what healing is all about. And he wants to restore the nation of Israel. And one day he will restore the nation of Israel. They will be restored from the tail of the nations to what? The head of the nations. Israel is a cup of trembling in the hands of the Gentiles today, but the Lord's going to take that cup out of the Gentiles' hands, and He'll have it. And then the Gentiles will be doing the trembling, not Israel. Okay? Now, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, this salvation is not what we consider the common salvation, because this is not talking about getting saved. It has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. So this salvation, I am persuaded, is the so great salvation referred to in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Which God, let me just turn over there and read that to you so it will be in the hearing, in your hearing. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? What did Jesus begin to first preach when he came on the scene? He preached the seed. He preached the Word of God. He preached the kingdom of the heavens. That's what he spoke about, and that's the so great salvation that the Gentiles will receive, and they will hear. And, of course, they will produce the fruits thereof. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it talks about the milk. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat, or solid food. So the writer of the book of Hebrews is rebuking the Jews, and all of us who are in need of milk. In other words, you don't even have the fundamentals down. And you need milk. You need some understanding about what God expects out of you as one of His children. One of the things He expects out of us is obedience. And so they are not ready for solid food. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That is, how to live a life that is pleasing to God. That's what the word of righteousness deals with. Is how do we please God? Well, we please God by faith. And how do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. The preaching, the teaching of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the heavens. That's how faith is generated. Because what is the significance of faith? It gives us hope. Faith gives us hope of things that we can't see. Faith also helps us to have evidence in our life that we believe that there's a hope of glory coming. Let's continue. For he that, because he's a babe, but strong meat or solid food belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use. Reason of use has to do with churning. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The churning of milk will provide butter. That'll help you to discern between good and evil. And the word exercise here means strenuous, sweating exercise. Because of the root of that word. And we won't go into that. I got in trouble last time I was talking about that, so I won't talk about that today. So anyway, to discern good and evil, it means it's strenuous exercise, and you don't wear your fur coat when you're doing this exercising. You shed the fur coat. That's what it amounts to, okay? All right. Now, I talked about Emmanuel's food. In Isaiah 7:15, butter and honey shall he, that is Emmanuel, the virgin-born Son of God, while he will eat, that he may know to refuse the good, or evil, excuse me, and choose the good. The Lord Jesus Christ fed on butter and honey. And we are to look unto Jesus for our example. And we need to feed on that too. Proverbs 30, verse 33 says very plainly, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. So you want to know how to produce butter? You churn the milk. And it takes a long time. Now, what is the significance of honey? Well, in 1 Samuel, we have a little nugget of insight of what the significance of honey is. And it says that Jonathan said, see how my eyes have been enlightened because I have tasted a little of this honey. Honey has to do with the enlightening of the eyes. God provides the honey. We have to provide the churning. Because when we eat the butter, we need some honey to understand what the butter means, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epinosis, the knowledge. This is knowledge upon knowledge. The little the preposition epi means upon, and the word gnosis means knowledge, knowledge upon knowledge. This is butter knowledge. This is butter fat that is stuck together. That's the kind of knowledge we're talking about. And that's how you make butter. Butter fat that sticks. Okay? Now, if we receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the butter of Him, the eyes of our understanding, or the eyes of our heart, being enlightened. That's the honey part of it. Being enlightened that we may know what is the hope of His calling. What is His calling? His calling is unto those who have ears to hear. His calling is unto His kingdom and glory. His calling is to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. And you have to qualify to do that. If you can't be faithful over a little, he's sure not going to give you 10 cities to rule over. You know, that's as simply as that. You can't take care of a talent. You can't take care of a pound. You're not going to have one city to rule over. In fact, you're going to be ruled over. So, that we may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We need to know about our heavenly inheritance. Isaiah 28:9 tells us about from milk to butter. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You got to get away from the milk. And the way you get away from the milk is you learn to churn it and turn it into butter. And how do you do that? Verse 10 of Isaiah 28 tells you just exactly how to do it. Verse 10. For precept must be upon precept. You got a precept here, you got to put another one on top of it. And then you got to put another one on top of that, and you got to put another one on top of that. And then you got to go and find you a line and put on top of that precept. And then you find another line and put it on top of that line. And before long, you have precepts and lines stacked on top of each other. And then you got some solid food. But it's here a little, there a little. The butter, fat, and milk is little. Here a little, there a little. Put things together. Now, when we think about the seed, the butter fat, feeding upon it, we think about a new beginning. When you understand the significance of the Word of God, which has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, you have a new beginning. What is that new beginning? It's a hope of glory. I want to read in 1 Peter 1:23. Where it says, being born again. That's an unfortunate, it's unfortunate the way John 3:3 is translated, because it says being born again. It's actually John 3:3 should be translated being born from above. Here is being born again. This is a new beginning. Jesus was begotten again when he became our high priest. He had been begotten before as whom? The prophet, the king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? That was his first beginning here on the earth, and he had a new beginning as our high priest. Here it says being born again, and this is anagnao, the Greek word. It's only found in this verse and one other verse in the New Testament. And that's in 1 Peter 1:3, and we'll look at that just after we finish reading this. The new beginning is not of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. The Word of God gives you a new beginning. And of course, he defines it here. Of the incorruptible by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Studying the Word of God, learning, feeding upon the butter and the honey fat, butter and the honey will give you a new perspective on the things, the good things that are coming, and it will give you a hope of glory, a hope of ruling and reigning with Christ. And we find that in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. For him to have begotten us again, he had to have begotten us before. And when he begot us before, he brought us into the family. And when he begot us again, he gave us a hope. He gave us that hope. And he made that hope alive or living by what means? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and placed at the right hand of the Father, he made our hope alive. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, faith would be of no value. you would still serve sin. There would still be no hope of glory because you could not please Him, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. The resurrection gives us hope. What does it give us a hope for? An inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept or guarded by the power of God through faith. If Jesus Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, faith couldn't keep you. We couldn't please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead makes our hope alive, living every day. So, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, he says, and he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? You listen to the word of God and you do what it says. Luke 8:21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are those which hear, present active, the word of God, and do it. And what do the blessed get to do? Matthew 25:34. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. If you want a heavenly inheritance in the coming kingdom of our Lord, in other words, you want to be a part of His administration, He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. If you want to be a king or a lord, you need the Word of God. You need the butter. Because it's only the butter that will help you to discern between good and evil and help you to make a choice to please God by choosing the good and eschewing the evil with all the trouble that comes with it. And I think about Job. Job was a man who eschewed the evil and chose the good, and he suffered for it. And we too will. We will do likewise. May the Lord help us to desire to be blessed of our Father and to inherit the kingdom. And we need the Word of God, the seed, to do it. Father, I just pray that you'd bless these thoughts to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to hear the Word of the kingdom, to hear the Word of God, the butter, fat of the Scriptures. And be blessed by inheriting the kingdom that you have prepared for us before the foundation of the world. We just thank you again for your presence with us. And we thank you, Father, for the ministry of this word to each of our hearts and lives. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.